was born bold.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. The value of coin increased by 2 cents today to $3.51. What is your coin worth today? Summer breakfast.
So with thanks to Coin, shop local with coin.com.au, and you can win SEN Summer Breakfast. David King and Jack Heverin, you can join us across the hour, of course, 1300 736 736. Gil McLachlan to make an announcement today, Kingy, around 10:30 this morning, with an enormous amount of money that's been pledged to an enormous upgrade to the Marvel Stadium and the Docklands precinct as a whole. Looks pretty cool.
Well, it needs it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does need it. Will it bring the financial benefits that we're hoping? Because how is the Docklands going? Is it a thoroughfare? Is it somewhere you go to? You don't just find yourself at the Docklands. You have to be going to the Docklands, I find. So it's an interesting discussion. $200 million. It's a big spend.
It's a lot. We're going to talk about that shortly. And we'll give you the chance to have one last pitch to Gillon McLachlan. If you imagine that he's listening this morning, you can tell us what additions you would love to see made. But we're delighted to have in studios our McCafe catch-up this morning, Shane McInerney, who understands every single ounce of these rules back to front, umpired over 500 games, now retired. And, well, Shane, the last time I saw you, you were in this studio and we interviewed you upon announcing your retirement. You didn't have anywhere near as much facial hair as what you're rolling with now. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, King. Morning, Jack. You know, can I honestly say that I actually pioneered the facial hair before it became COVID trendy. Yes, I was
almost
under that about 12
almost
months ago.
Looks to me like you're trying to hide from the general public.
There's people out there with long memories, Kingy.
We're going to cover a bunch of ground with you, but one thing we wanted to, I guess, first and foremost, was just get your feel for the changes that were made earlier in the week. Are they significant changes at all? What did you think of them?
Yeah, look, obviously there were four changes there, and look, there's a couple that I might speak to in a couple of moments' time, but what I found most interesting was the rules that they didn't change, and in particular holding the ball. I think we can all recall, you know, midway during the season, some frustration from players, from coaches, supporters, commentators, and the umpire themselves, where there was some real issues around, you know, a consistency or a predictability around holding the ball. And I think the AFL at the time said, in response to calls to, you know, change the rules, they said, listen, we're not going to change rules mid-season, but we'll have a look at it at the end of the year. So I think that's what's perhaps surprised me. So the fact that they haven't sort of come out with any changes might suggest that they're happy with the letter of the law. And so perhaps they're putting it back on the umpiring department to come up with a more consistent interpretation.
Oh, no. Not, are they?
I'm not sure how else you could interpret it, Kingy.
So let's just say there was a change that needed to be made. What would that change look like?
It's not an easy one. And I guess it really comes down to perhaps, you know, what camp you're in. You know, are you in the camp about protecting the ball player? Because I've always thought that, you know, the argument for making prior opportunity of less time has been the increased skill level of the players. Well, certainly same argument has to apply to the other side of the equation, and that's the tackle. I just don't think that, I think that as players' skill levels have evolved as well, that the execution of the tackle perhaps needs to be at a higher standard. I think, you know, how many push in the backs do you see now? Mainly because, you know, what a push in the back was 10 years ago. Players are well coached now to actually roll the player, but they're still thrusting a player forward. So certainly not suggesting that that part of the game hasn't been umpired well. I think it has. But I think that to get some balance back into it, again, I guess I'm in the camp of protecting the ball player, and I'd like to see more balance back to what is defined as an actual legal tackle.
What about prior opportunity, whether it become a team prior opportunity? So once you start a handball chain, if you're stopped in your tracks at some point in that handball chain, then it's a free kick against. That was discussed heavily over the last couple of seasons, rather than what we have now with did that individual player, upon, you know, obtaining possession, did he have enough time to dispose of the ball? Did he have prior opportunity? It becomes murky. Are you one that's an advocate for
certainly,
team prior?
Certainly there's occasions where you see a player who might be in danger of giving away a free kick on the ball, put his teammate under pump knowing that he's right there, he's going to get tackled, but we'll still end up with a neutral ball up.
Yeah.
So I think there is some merit in considering that. From an adjudication point of view, keeping a line of handballs as to has that team had consistent handballs, that's probably another challenge for the umpire to try and wrap his mind around. But look, I think all those things should at least be looked at some level, I think.
With the holding the ball, I mean, we could talk about this with every rule, but is it too open for interpretation at the moment? As in, the three of us sitting here right now, Shane, could look at an incident on the TV there and have three very different reads of it. Does it need to be a little bit more rigid?
What I think there does need to be is a really thorough education program, because I can watch the footy and I get frustrated with some of the commentators' interpretations, where I'm convinced some actually don't understand that there is a prior opportunity, and that if he hasn't had prior, then it's always a ball up. But, he's had prior. Well, I don't think that that's really well understood as to what prior looks like. I mean, it's well understood by the umpires and I think by the clubs. I'm just not sure that the message is getting out there to the supporters who are pretty key to this as to what prior opportunity actually, that prior opportunity still does exist. But, there's still the call that, he didn't kick it, didn't hand pass it, therefore it must be holding the ball or dropping the ball. Not the case.
No, and that's what we're – but that's the discussion, isn't it?
Mm.
We're trying to get away from having all these disclaimers.
Mm.
Did he have prior? Did he effectively disposable? Did he do this? And just having an easier way for both the fans and the umpires to understand what we're trying to do.
Oh, look, I think if you wanted to make something more black and white, which I think is always something that, should be looked at, certainly that is something that you could explore. That if you've got possession of the footy, right, so you're entitled to be tackled, you must kick or must hand pass. But
yeah,
that is taking the game into a zone that is really about not encouraging the ball player, but more encouraging the tackler. So you'd have to be careful as to how that, what the after effects or the flow-on effects could be. But if you want to make it black and white, it's certainly one way that you could do that.
Is the standard of umpiring at a level that you're comfortable with? What did you have you thought that the umpiring has matched the levels that we'd hoped?
Look, I think everyone acknowledges that, it's the toughest game in the world to officiate and so forth. I think that it's the type of caper where you really need 10 years in the game. I mean, I look at the NFL. I don't know. I guess not because it's summer and there's no other code to watch, but you look at who their officials are. After 10 years officiating in the NFL, they still consider you a rookie.
Mm.
And I think that's perhaps the way where our game's going as well. And I think that it's not surprising that you see at the pointy end of the year, who are the guys that are getting the finals? They're the guys that have had, 30 finals, 35 finals, the guys that have done 4, 5, 6 grand finals, the guys that have done 350 plus games. And I think that's probably where I think, how do you support the younger guys to become better? Look, I think that's probably what the coaching challenge and the resourcing challenge at the AFL is at the moment. And I know they've certainly put in place a number of people in roles to accelerate that as much as you can. But as we know, there's only one test out there, 2 o'clock Saturday.
Mm. Mm. What's it? Just try and help us explain. We go through, obviously, and we see and we hear players so often talking about what their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday looks like with video analysis and working with their line coach, et cetera, et cetera. What's that like from an umpiring point of view? So say you'll have your game on Saturday. You'll do your recovery and all that sort of stuff. What does that breakdown early in the week look like for you?
Well, look, I think where we've gotten to this year has been a pretty unusual year. So for the guys that committed themselves to being part of the season, and for most of those it was, who have full-time jobs, certainly committing themselves up into the hub. I think, when originally all this started moving, they were told to pack for 18 days, yeah, about 100 days, 110 days. I hope the laundry was on high rotation. They still found themselves there. So I think what came to pass this year was probably quite unusual. Of course, they did bring in the ARC, which was a new assessment process, which I think, they're still working their way through to make sure that the ARC and the coaching team are well aligned in what their interpretations are. But I think this year is probably a really, you know, unusual year to talk about what was a normal week.
What do you make, or what do you make of the new manning the mark? So once that mark is set, then it obviously can't move laterally to deny the ball carrier his opportunity to play on or to use the full scope of what's in front of him.
Mm.
What are your – is that an easier thing to umpire? Because I get the feeling that we're going to have a spate of 50-metre penalties. And it's just – it's almost going to get to the point of ridiculous. I'm worried about that already.
Well, look, it's certainly a continuation of the strategy the AFL's put in place about providing some sort of incentive for the player with the ball to take on more risk to put it into the corridor. I think if you have a think about the 10-metre protected rule that came in, the idea there was to stop that – artificial man on the mark 5 metres to the side from blocking off that centre corridor. You think about perhaps just the last couple of years where they've encouraged the guy with the football in a set kick situation to take a more square on position, because I think people would have heard umpire called east-west when the mark's outside the 50, again to try and square him up to get him closer to that centre corridor, because at the moment, you know, it's the man on the mark that really influences where the next passage of play goes. And what we've seen, the player obviously, you know, take the long kick down the line. There's a contest of 8 or 10 players. It gets punched out of bounds, stoppage, boundary throw in, away we go. So I think this change, I guess, is part of a story that they're trying to, or a strategy rather, that they're trying to make it more attractive for that guy with the footy to make more attacking type of decisions. Now, from an officiating point of view, you know, umpires have always controlled where the level of the mark is. Now they're being asked to control the spot. So what's perhaps more interesting to me might be what the workaround that the clubs are already thinking about. And I'm sure there's, you know, I know we've had rule announcements and it's the detail that we need to work through. But, you know, do you have that player on the mark stand 1 metre back from the mark? Does that he still have the same license then to move that laterally across the mark that they're trying to stop? But as far as a spat of 50s, look, you know, I think what we saw with the protected 10 metre, you know, it started off as 10, to be honest with you, as the season rolled past last year, and it's a couple of years of implementing this, it's probably 6 or 7. And I think, you know, there is a reluctance from the umpire to pay a 50-metre penalty. I mean, that's a big decision, and you can pretty much put any 50-metre penalty on the ground, really gives you a really good scoring opportunity. So, and we know that the scrutiny that comes under, you know, commentators and people saying, oh, how can you have a 50-metre because he's gone a step and a half laterally? Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be something that's going to be, you know, something to watch, Kingy. So it's certainly another administrative task for the umpire. I don't know, advice to any players out there that want to stand marks, I'd be standing the spot. I don't think I'd be taking the umpires on, particularly early in the season, as to how far can I push it. You know, we're saying 1 step. Do they really mean 1 step, or is it 1.5 steps? Or perhaps it's 2 steps, because it's a big decision to make at any particular space on the ground.
Shane, can you stick around?
Certainly.
Don't look like you're in any sort of rush this morning.
I'm just enjoying the human interaction. I can't handle another Zoom meeting or Skype meeting.
No, I think we've all just about had enough. Kingy, go and grab him an instant coffee as well. Yeah. See if you can sort Shane out. Stick around, more with Shane McInerney coming up next.
This Christmas, get Ralph Lauren Polo Ultra Blue 40mm for just $34.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
I was born bold.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
Welcome back to SEN Breakfast for Coin. Shop local with coin.com.au and win. We spoke to Nathan Brown before the break. A couple asking for his best at Terang today. Race 3, number 5, Smiler Marshall. Kingy, he gave that a good old-fashioned push, didn't he?
Being crunched. $10 into 5.
First up starter for Simon Wilde. It's drawn out wide, but I think it might be worth a little investment as well. Shane McInerney in the studio with us. We're talking about the rule changes. And I guess from an umpire's perspective, the way the game looks. Shane, the competition committee as it stands right now, why is there no umpire on the competition committee?
Yeah, look, I think it's a good question, Jack. Look, certainly that part of the game is represented by the umpiring department, who I'm sure bring all the statistics, all the data to the conversation as to where the effects of other rule changes and how they've sort of washed through. But I've often thought that, you know, I don't think the Competition Commission could be, or committee could be, any less effective if it had a running umpire on it. I just think that you probably get a slightly different perspective from the guys that actually have to execute on this. Look, I'm sure that they are well represented by the umpiring department, but I think sometimes having an actual, you know, officiating umpire, current umpire there, could only be to its benefit as well.
Maybe they, like the rest of us, they think we hear too much from umpires. can I ask
you? Meanwhile, we have one in the studio with
no,
us.
He knows I love it. He knows I love it. Can I just ask a serious one? We went from two umpires to three umpires. Do you think
a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yep. And I look at the NRL and they've gone from two back to one. They went from one to two back to one for consistency. And across the course of the game, whether you get it right or wrong, if you get it right or wrong for 120 minutes, that's fine. Teams will adjust, players will adjust. Do you think going from two to three has had the benefits now that we've done it for some time? And would it be worth looking at going from three back to two for consistency, decision to decision?
Look, I think there's always pros and cons to everything. I think, before the break I spoke about in response to a question about, you know, the standard of umpiring. And I reflect on the fact that it really
didn't really answer it, though.
It takes a number of years.
You responded, but you didn't say yes.
It takes a number of years of experience to really get that consistent output. So, look, three umpires was brought in to keep your more experienced guys in the game longer. And I think part of that, a consequence of that, is that you will have a slight different interpretation across three, but it shouldn't be that different. But the effect would be, if you go back to two, you're going to lose a third of the list. I think the way that the game's played in terms of numbers around the footy, fast transitions when they do break, I think you'll find that you just don't have enough angles covered. You go to the footy these days, 20 cameras there, they've got all the angles covered. You got three umpires that are trying to work their best in a triangle to try and get as many angles covered as they can. And look, you know, that far end zone umpire, or the one that's out of the play the most, I mean, he'll still have a positive contribution in two or three key decisions, I think, in a game. So, look, you have to be – look, I just don't think it's quite as simple that by going from three to two – look, you probably will – look, you will achieve greater consistency if you go to three to two.
Isn't that what we want?
But you're not going to get all the free kicks. And isn't that what you want?
No, I think consistency is what we want. And if we miss a few, we miss a few.
I reckon when you start missing a few, the argument comes back the other way. We need more umpires out there to make sure that we get all the frees.
It's an interesting question. Yeah. I just to know what the fans think. Would you be more happy to miss two or three, four free kicks a game, maybe five a game, but have consistency on those that are called, over and above the opposite?
You can send us your thoughts, 0433 98 11 16. Shane, thanks so much for coming in this morning. We really appreciate it.
Welcome,
retired life looks pretty good on you, I must say.
Yeah.
Look, we're working into it. I've seen how well Kingy's adjusted, and he's been an inspiration for me. But it's perhaps just
perhaps inspiration is a bit strong. I'll tell the story.
But I'll
tell the story.
A bloke drags you out of the Subiaco Hotel and gives you a free cab ride home, and he never lets you forget it.
You were at your lowest that night.
I was. We were a bit flat after that final. But
do you remember that? I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
He made a decision. Swans versus West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, qualifying final, 2005, Friday night.
Just a qualifying final.
Yeah.
Was a block on the mark or something?
Oh, look, I'm starting to
paid go. Paid a 50.
I'm starting to go in the fetal position already.
Swung the game. Myself and Dwayne Russell walked over the Subiaco Hotel, and there's an umpire in the corner by himself with his head in his hands, smashing a couple of schooners.
We're usually ourselves anyway.
Dwayne walked over and said, he can repeat this later, Dwayne. Dwayne walked over and he said, don't worry about it. It's only a qualifying final.
with that. I think we ordered another couple of rounds of scooters.
We did.
But I got a free cab ride out of it, home, back to the hotel, which was very generous of you. Very generous of you.
Shane, thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Let's get to the news.